It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 21st day of August 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tube. It's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in this in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between and the great globe round. And where if you pop in right now, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers, Theo and Squeaky and Ralphs and New Jersey Nick. Hey, gang. Good to see you. Hope you had a lovely weekend. I did. Didn't do anything in particular, but I had a nice weekend because it was beautiful outside and just fun to get out and go around, and went down to the settlements for provisions and such like. You know, kitty litter, cat food, dog food, hat and half, milk, that sort of thing. My dear friend Ging made us, she made coconut ginger soup for Annette and Tom Yum for me. That always makes me happy. It's like, well, I mean, it's home cooking. It's Thai home cooking. This is not restaurant cooking. But here we are at the beginning of another broadcast week, the last full broadcast week of the month of August. We've got all of this week and then 4 days of next week. We will welcome September on a week from this coming Friday, and that blows my mind and is sending me into paroxysms of grief. Oh, how the autumn. I know. Shut up, Robin. I get it. By the way, if you're listening to the podcast, pretty please like and subscribe. Whatever platform you take it on, Apple Podcasts or anything out of the Google Play Store or iHeartRadio, Stitcher. Well, Stitcher's gone. Spotify, such like as that. Leave a comment for the algorithms, and my enduring thanks, the community's thanks to you, if you are taking time to leave a comment over at, for instance, Podbean. I do get notification when comments are left there, and I appreciate it. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. Oh, hi, I'm Robin. And so we say thank you to our 21st 20th and 19th day of the month PayPal subscribers. That means, working in reverse order, thank you to Harold, President and CEO of Sostris, the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Thank you, Harold. And thank you to Charles. Thank you so very much. Thanks as well to Janice and Armand. Thank you, Vincent. Thank you to Dr. John in New Mexico. Thanks as well to Ralphs and to our buddy Reverbo, the human man. Had a nice conversation with Reverbo over the weekend. Thank you to Don in British Columbia. Thank you. Thank you to Darlene in Connecticut. Thanks all so very much for helping to keep this little independent, progressive, liberal, non-commercial, non-capitalist broadcast effort afloat for what will be, in February of 2024, a 20-year-long broadcast experiment. Yeah. And so, that being the case, we... God, I'm trying to remember what the number... I think our fundraising goal is... it's call it $1,200. $1,200. That means that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and today are unfunded. And whatever we can do to get caught up with that to hopefully...
Please, sweet fake baby Jeebus.
Finish the month of August fully funded would be magnificent. So, you know, the PayPal button is at headon.live if you'd like to become a new subscriber. The subscribers who are out there would welcome your comradeship. If you go to PayPal button at headon.live, there's just a, you know, you put in like 10 bucks and click make this a recurring monthly donation, and then the next thing you know, you're out less than a half a stick of chewing gum for every hour of programming here, which is an amazing little number considering the quality of what happens here. Okay, it's Moran Monday, and we have Morans. Oh, we have Morans. Dear God. We have Morans. We have traitors. And we also have, you know, heroes who point out morons. But all that having been said, I would like to start with a bit of a digression, I suppose we would call it, or an observation. I thought about turning this into an essay and putting it up on social media. Maybe I will yet, but I wanted to lay it all out here first. Because after all, this is the program where we get stuff right a lot of the time, and we get stuff right way before the multimillionaires in the for-profit media get it. So we could think of this as kind of a little experiment. And let's see if, having mentioned it, it pops up somewhere else. Hi, you crazy kids. Morning, Zoo Crew. Oh, and, well, there's Irish Dave popping into the chat room. Howdy, Irish Dave. And here it is. because I've had a couple of days to flesh it out. And it really was one of those Archimedes sitting in the hot tub in ancient Greece, jumping up and leaping naked out of the pool and yelling, "Urethra!" Moments. Okay, so to put this in proper context. Last week, we started talking a little bit here and there, and I think we can continue to talk about it, or the possible ramifications of it. We started talking about how, in the name of all that's good and decent and mom and apple pie and God bless George Washington, and how is Nitwit Nero going to keep his shit together over the course of weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of hearing vast volumes of evidence of what an absolutely awful, horrible, indecent, pathetic attempt at being a human being he is. He lost again today, in case you didn't know. Not lost, but... Nitwit Nero, through his pettifoggers, had tried to put off the inevitable, the trial date for the four-count indictment in D.C., tried to put that off until sometime in 2026, as if no one would know why he would do that. Jack Smith and his special counsel team responded to that cockamamie request today. And said, among other things, that the government, this is a quote, "The government respects the defendant's need to review discovery and prepare for trial, but his characterizations of the volume of discovery miss important facts. The majority, or roughly 65% of the government's first discovery production, in which the government front-loaded the most important materials, consists of materials to which the defendant has functionally had access, are duplicative, or do not constitute Rule 16 discovery. Approximately 3 million pages of the discovery, 25% of the first production, come from entities associated with the defendant." This is a somewhat genteel way of reminding Tangerine Tiberius that his buddies have rolled on him. "Hundreds of thousands of other pages came from the National Archives, meaning that the defendant or his representatives reviewed them before the government received them or are publicly available, including the defendant's tweets, Truth Social posts, campaign statements, and court papers involving challenges to the 2020 election by the defendant or his allies." Ouch. In other words, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You had the right to remain silent, dipshit, but you chose not to exercise it. You said it. You know you said it. Own it. Smith went on, The government provided the discovery in organized, load-ready files for importation to a searchable electronic database, with the understanding that the defense, consistent with modern standard practice, will review discovery electronically rather than manually.
What?
At which Nitwit Nero's pettifoggers were noticed to be staring at a portable hard drive with, like, well, with all the perspicacity of a cow looking at a new gate.
What is?
The defendant's proposed trial date, however, sometime in 2026, rests on the faulty assertion that it is necessary for a lawyer to conduct a page-by-page review of discovery for a defendant to receive a fair trial. But the defendant can, should, and apparently will adopt the benefits of electronic review to reduce the volume of material needed to be searched and manually reviewed. These methods include efficient keyword searching and relevancy tagging by multiple simultaneous users, as well as date filtering, deduplication, and threading, all of which services and all more are offered by the defendant's e-discovery vendor, according to its own website, and are tools that courts appropriately expect legal professionals to use. That's a lot of words for saying, what kind of fucked up penny ante ambulance chasers have you actually hired, Nitwit? But he wasn't done, and he said, the defendant also contends that the existence of classified discovery necessitates delay. But this is not a case about classified information, and the government does not anticipate introducing classified material in its case in chief. Ow! Oh, damn! He licked his finger and stuck it in the light socket and got zapped. You must be thinking about the case down in Florida, dumbass. As the government will explain during the August 28th hearing under Section 2 of the Classified Information Procedures Act, there is no reason that the CIPA discovery process in this case cannot proceed quickly and in parallel with the schedule proposed by the government. In cases such as this one, the burden of reviewing discovery cannot be measured by page count alone, and comparisons to the height of the Washington Monument and the length of a Tolstoy novel are neither helpful nor insightful. Nor insightful. That's a way of saying, Loro, you have never fucking read War and Peace. I know you've never read War and Peace. You're never gonna read War and Peace. Literature is judged by content, not by the pound. Yeah, because they had pled that the discovery was would stack up higher than the Washington Monument.
You have any idea how big a ladder I'll need to get up there? You have any idea how expensive that is?
In fact, comparisons such as those are a distraction from the issue at hand, which is determining what is required to prepare for trial. Oh, my goodness gracious. And, you know, Judge Tanya Chutkan will probably do some baby splitting. But this trial is not going to be put off into 2026 or 2025, even. I sincerely doubt it will be scheduled for even anything after the first day of spring 2024. But Smith also signaled that the DC trial is going to be rather straightforward. Oh, by the way, did you know that there is an Adderall shortage? No, really, I'm not kidding. Another one of those things of which there is a shortage in this country. U.S. Food and Drug Administration earlier this month and the Drug Enforcement Administration issued a statement regarding the ongoing Adderall shortage. I don't know if this has something to do with the tornado that blew the living beat Jesus out of that pharmaceutical plant in North Carolina. Adderall is referred to as mixed amphetamine salts. And as a workaround, the FDA has approved, I'm not kidding, game-based digital therapeutics. You know, I don't think they're going to have any luck teaching Nitwit Nero how to play a PS5. But if his general cognitive abilities seem to decline, might be because he's having a hard time getting his hands on that street Adderall. Not saying. Just saying. So that's kind of a starting place for where I want to take this. By the way, Ralph's has kindly put a $25 challenge on the table in celebration of the $200,000 that Nitwit Nero will have to put up for bail in Georgia. That story came from Axios. District Attorney Fani Willis submitted a court filing today alongside Nitwit Nero's pettifoggers. It contained the conditions of bail. The defendant shall perform no act to intimidate any person known to him or her to be a co-defendant or witness in this case, or to otherwise obstruct the administration of justice, the document says. The above shall include, but are not limited to, posts on social media or reposts of posts made by another individual on social media. There's a little bit of closing the barn door after the horse is gone about this because, well, Nitwit Nero already can be said to have tried to intimidate Georgia Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan, former Georgia Lieutenant Governor, against testifying against him to the Fulton County Grand Jury. This does not mean that he's shown up and entered his plea. But Nitwit Nero's pettifoggers have agreed to the $200,000 bond. Nothing in there about him surrendering his passport. There's something about that just still bothers me. But if somebody's got $25 to match Ralph's, it'll get us down to $11.50, which will be freaking awesome. So that's all background. He is in a pressure cooker, and it is growing hotter. It's almost like he's in his very own libertarian death thermos.
Heading down to see the Titanic.
And every passing day is at this point in time is going to bring more pressure, more heat. And, you know, here's just a little heads up. At no point in time is he going to turn into a diamond. As to street Adderall, Steve in New York says, I wonder if Russia's former housekeeper is available. You know, and the magic cigar box. Now, I'm sure he's, I don't know, I'm sure he's got access. Maybe his friendship with Dr. Ronnie, Dr. Representative Ronnie Candyman Jackson is still a going concern. Something's blooming. Apparently there will be intermittent pauses for fits of sneezing this afternoon. That may have been intentional. Ralph says, oh my, Robin, you're, sounded like one of the cartoon dogs. Hmm? Could be Astro. Could be Scooby-Doo. I love it when y'all notice these things. Experimentally in New York asks, obligatory Young Frankenstein reference. Now, that brain you gave me, was it Hans Delbrooks? No. Ah, very good. Would you mind telling me whose brain I did put in? You won't be angry. I will not be angry. Abby someone. Abby someone. Abby who? Abby Normal? Abby Normal. I'm almost sure that was the name. Are you saying that I put an abnormal brain into a 7.5-foot-long, 54-inch-wide gorilla? Is that what you're telling me? Yeah, exactly that, Lee. Lee, who knows of such things, says, searching electronic documents, Control-F will let him find the evidence. Why F? Because F describes his defendant status. He is F'd. Well, there, by God, is our first cowbell of the evening. And it goes to you, Lee. Only to you. I've got some other emails to get to, but I want to continue this attempted line of thought. So we got the bail issue. We got the opposition to delaying the trial in D.C. to 2026. At this point in time, they have no facts, they have no law, and they're pounding the table for all they're worth, and they're throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, these these ambulance chasers. And so, like I said, we know he's going to have to sit through day after day after day after day of prosecution cases in chief. In Miami, in D.C., in New York, and in Atlanta. And those cases in chief are going to go on for weeks. And they're going to lay out in... What was the line that Captain Queeg used in the Caine Mutiny? With geometric logic. What a crooked and venal POS Donald J. Trump is. And he'll have to just sit there and take it 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 until he can't take it anymore. And And so it was, as I was thinking about all of this, that another thing, and it ha- let's see, who did I have on MSNBC at the time? It was Ali Velshi. I was watching Ali Velshi. Oh, let me check the stream real quick. Anybody having trouble getting the stream? I'm not seeing it. Is there a message from Brother Deacon Asa? Okay, thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Stream is A-OK. Someone's having a hard time getting the stream. And it was all about, you know, the RICO statute. Thank you, Darlene. Loud and clear. Thank you. And what kind of proof it requires, and the sentencing, and the Georgia Board of Pardons and Paroles, in which, and I was mistaken in my own understanding. I thought one had to have served 5 years of one's sentence. No. You can't apply for a pardon in Georgia until you've served your entire sentence and then you've been out and about for 5 years. This is what has the maggots up in arms in Georgia. And they are, and this is a complicated and complex legal term, fucked. Because in order to change that statute, the Georgia legislature would require a vote in each house. They would have to include the participation and cooperation and yes votes of, wait for it, Democrats. Yeah, I know. Beautiful, ain't it? So with all this tableau as backdrop, I had a moment. There I sat in my imaginary hot tub, as naked as Archimedes, contemplated, realizing the nature of specific gravity, and leaping out of the water naked as the day he was born, and running through the streets of town yelling urethra. I have found it. Actually, it was Eureka, but it's a lot more funny when it's urethra. Thank you, Stephen, New York. Don't think I don't recall. Here it is. Enough. Enough setup. RICO acts, and I did my due diligence and went and researched the Georgia statute so that I could be sure. RICO acts also, and I just love this so much. You're going to understand why in a minute if you haven't already sorted it out. Billable Rick and Steve probably already have. RICO acts also have a civil side. Why, whatever could the civil side be? Forfeiture, babies! Forfeiture! Civil forfeiture. It's most often, typically, used in, for instance, drug cases. And any personality and realty owned by a defendant can be seized by the offended government if that said property was used in any way, shape, form, or fashion in furtherance of the criminal enterprise. Let that sink in. Did he ever take a phone call on his rickety-ass jumbo jet with any of these treasonous goons? Seize the plane. Were there ever any meetings at MAGA-Loco? Seize that tacky-ass golf motel. Did he engage in any conversations when he went back home to New York to his tacky-ass penthouse? Take it, too. How about his tacky-ass golf motel at Bedminster, New Jersey? Seize it as well. Now, you don't even necessarily have to have a criminal conviction to do this, but I think it would be wise under the circumstances to have the criminal conviction first. And then Georgia authorities, if they are so inclined, can take every goddamn blessed thing he owns. If it was used even tangentially in furtherance of this vast and stupid criminal conspiracy, this racketeering enterprise. Do you see why I had such a little dopamine-driven rush of joy? I wonder how many property transfers he's made. 'Cause I'll bet, I mean, come on, one of those miserable ambulance chasers is bound to have thought of that. And yes, Stephen, New York, the money he raised. I wonder if we could seize all of that, too. Yes! Every nickel he raised spreading the filthy lie that the 2020 election was rigged is conceivably a proper subject of a forfeiture motion. Oh, and by the way, you know, criminal cases have a standard of proof that requires proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Not so with civil forfeiture. That's a more likely than not standard. Everything. If the evidence is as compelling as what I think we expect the evidence to be, they can ruin him, and they can make sure that his vulgar children don't get a goddamn dime. Here in the United States, we don't have a Tarpeian Rock or anything. But this is, well, people like Donald Trump love their money more than their lives.
What? They're taking Magalhães? They're taking Bedminster? Melanoma's out on the street in New York?
That's where she started, hon.
They got the jet?
They got the jet.
The helicopter?
Uh-huh.
All the money?
Uh-huh. I'm ruined. Yes. Oh, don't you wish you'd been able to keep your mouth shut? Wouldn't that have just been awesome? Not saying it's going to happen. And one way to test the theory, like I said, I haven't put it on social media or anything. I'm only doing it here. It'll be on the podcast. One way to test the theory is to see if maybe one of those legal eagles shows up on a morning news program talking about how it's time we turn away from all the criminal elements of RICO and start talking about another aspect of the RICO statute. I can't, like I said, I can't remember the exact particulars, but I know part of it had to do with recalling, or my realization, part of my realization had to do with recalling Rudy Giuliani saying, "Hey, nobody knows more about prosecuting RICO than me. I was the first RICO prosecutor. That's who I was, huh?" I have no doubt that Rudy used the civil forfeiture aspects of RICO when he was U.S. attorney. It was actually, it wasn't just used by the federal government in years past. It was abused. RICO has been used in southern states to simply justify cops who stole available cash from people that they pulled over on the road and decided were RICO suspects. Yeah, you can. It doesn't take a hell of a lot of research to find cases like that. But do you find that as delicious as I do? I mulled this over a lot. I read, I researched, and I can't find anything that says this can't happen. And I don't see anything in the Georgia statute that says that the forfeiture has to be related to property in Georgia. So that means that the people of the state of Georgia may wind up being owners of a tacky-ass golf motel in South Florida. Yeah, maybe I'm overreacting. But God, this is good, at least as far as I'm concerned. And again, if I turn on the TV some lovely morning in the next few days and I see someone sitting there saying, "Now I'm just a dumb country lawyer and spent my lifetime falling off turnip trucks, but did it ever occur to you that Donald Trump could lose everything to civil forfeiture?" We'll know. We'll know. And we will once again have the satisfaction of being so far out ahead of the curve that it's like we're on straight road. Yeah, take your time with this one. It feels really, really good. I've been enjoying it since somewhere around noon on Saturday. Utterly delightful. Now, I said we had some emails to get to, and I want to do that. First of all, Kenda out in Missouri. Subject line, Asa Hutchinson. "I can't find a clip yet, but Asa Hutchinson on Nicole Wallace today, refusing to say he will not vote for Trump. Unreal." Nicole and David Jolly went right at him, and he would not break, tied himself in knots, but would not answer the question. He can't. He's wrapped into the cult, and he's, well, if you think about the Republican Party as one big mob, you can never retire from the mob. Thank you, Kenda. John in Central PA. Why is Judge Chutkin treating Trump with kid gloves? He blatantly violated her orders. Any ordinary citizen would have been locked the hell up by now. We also have Steve Bannon on the loose, still plotting his bullshit against America, and he gets to walk around free, even though the government secured their conviction. It just makes ordinary people think the legal system is completely bogus. Also, $200,000 is not a meaningful sum. That's like pennies to him. It could be a meaningful sum, John. If a single tweet or tripe or grunt into a microphone gets his ass hauled back to Atlanta and costs him $200,000 and potentially puts him in the joint, it's not the amount, it's the effect. And Judge Chutkin, John, is not treating him with kid gloves. U.S. district judges, and, well, at least in theory, trial court judges generally do not have the luxury that we have out here of just saying what's on our minds. The first and foremost consideration of a judge is making sure that they preside over an outcome, whatever that outcome is, that is not tainted by error. Apparently, you and I mean no insult by this, John, you know, we're friends. But you and Donald Trump kind of want the same thing. You want Judge Chutkin to hail his ass into court, dress him down, fine him, maybe stick him in the joint. And that could arguably be enough to taint the entire remainder of the prosecution. I have mentioned it, and there is that old phrase, to hoist oneself on one's own petard. And even I, a longtime practitioner of the art of word knowing, have to check every so often and be reminded of what a petard is. A petard is a small box of explosives, usually meant to blow down a door or something. And to be hoisted upon one's own petard is to blow oneself up by one's own stupidity. Hoist meaning to, boom, you know, go a-flying. And in some instances, judges, to use another analogy, will leave a great big coil of rope sitting in front of a criminal defendant in order to let them take exactly as much as they feel like they need, or in this case, want, with which to hang themselves. There's four of them. All of these cases turn on Geezer Disgustus' willingness to do stupid, venal, crooked, criminal things that others warned him repeatedly against doing, but he did nonetheless. And so the wording of the alleged threat and the derogatory language he's used, again, we come back to, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. And there are presently four such courts prepared to use anything and anything for the seven little letters that it is a lot of things. And there may come a time when every moment in which he is referred to Jack Smith as deranged or a lunatic or a Hillary supporter or anything else that has come tumbling out of that vomit hole of his that passes for a mouth, will find its way to a jury. Juries that may include people who take extreme umbrage with things like the word riggers. I said at the beginning of the program that even though this is Moran Monday, there would be a potential hero. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is now 76 years old, a couple of years younger than Clementine Caligula. And he put out an article today. Trump and DeSantis compete to see who's more racist. Musk punishes free press. Vivek wants to cancel Juneteenth. Great TV show, Ella Fitzgerald sings. This week in jaw-dropping racism. Speaking about, or writing about, Trump's use of riggers, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said, Trump defenders will undoubtedly offer up theatrical, shocked expressions that such an innocent word is misconstrued by the emotional snowflakes, all the while trying hard to hide their knowing smirks. But we only have to ask ourselves why Trump is the preferred presidential candidate of white supremacists and racists. What do they hear when he speaks that assures them he's on their side when it comes to promoting racism? His own former communications director argues that Trump knowingly is sending a racist message to his followers who are enemies of democracy. Trump's tactic is to broadcast a threat to Americans. If you come after me, there will be violence. Last summer, after Mar-a-Lago was searched, he wrote that he didn't know
how much more our country will be willing to withstand.
Only a month after, he wrote,
the people of this country aren't going to take it much longer.
Then he went on to suggest that indicting him would cause
death and destruction that could be catastrophic for our country.
To clarify his intent, he reposted a black and white video of his scowling face with a voiceover of him saying,
if you fuck around with us, if you do something bad to us, we're going to do things to you that have never been done before.
The original context for those words was a message to Iran during his 2020 re-election campaign, but his reposting confirms he approves the repurposing of those threats to now be against Americans. His followers have listened. Fannie Willis, the Georgia prosecutor indicting Trump, has received numerous death threats, as have members of the grand jury. I hope that Americans will prove to Trump and to those politicians slithering behind him, I'm looking at you, Kevin McCarthy, Lindsey Graham, Marjorie Taylor Greene et al., that we can't be blackmailed or threatened or bullied from our Democratic foundation. It's astounding to me how many people would be more willing to face bullets in war than face down a sexual predator and criminal who tried to subvert our country's constitution. Let Trump followers do their worst. We will continue to be our best, which means making sure they face the same justice the January 6th insurrectionists faced. Hear, hear. Let Trump followers do their worst. We will continue to be our best. That's a reprise of when they go low, we go high. Oh, good for you. Good for you. Darlene. Darlene says, I know where you got that dumb country lawyer falling off a turnip truck, your boyfriend, on your filthy morning habit. Don't tell Mika. Although I would have preferred Judge Beryl Howell for the January 6th hearing, let's give Judge Chutkan a chance and some more time. She didn't engage in both-siderism by any stretch, although with Judge Cannon in Florida, any judge is going to look pretty damn professional and brilliant by comparison. But let's not kid ourselves either. Trump has been treated way differently by the law enforcement and justice systems than you or I would be. That in and of itself is pretty goddamned outrageous. You're right. That old saying, rank hath its privileges. And privileges can be rank. And stink in the nostrils of the Almighty. Emilio asking, if you do something bad to us, we'll do something bad to you. Is Trump the new Borg Queen? And does that spell the end for the collective? Oh, my. Does that mean... Then who's Locutus in that scenario? The cult and how to deal with it, Theo writes, I've just finished the audiobook of Stephen Hassan's The Cult of Trump. A leading cult expert explains how the president uses mind control. It's perhaps the best in-depth investigation of 45's methodology around psychological control, and Mr. Hassan himself was a member of Reverend Sun Myung Moon's villainous organization. He's since become an acknowledged expert on the subject, as well as teaching the art of deprogramming. We're going to need for a lot of people to become conversant with the science if we're to help fellow citizens recover their rational minds after being so disastrously drawn in. Yeah, I agree. The more of us know and understand, the better able we are to refute it. My question, however, is, and maybe this marks me as the cynic that I am, how many are already too far gone? There are some that are never coming back, Theo. I mean, you mentioned the Moonies. Deprogramming a Mooney or a Hare Krishna, I mean, that's kind of where the idea of deprogramming first got traction. It required one individual to be isolated and taken to like a cabin deep in the forest where they had no hope of getting away and just being absolutely subjected daily to irrefutable evidence of the nature of the cult. Do we have enough deprogrammers to do that for tens of millions of American citizens? Or is this one of those things that sort of has to take its course, rather like Republicans finally figuring out that, yes, indeed, while they still hated the damn Democrats, Richard Nixon was a crook. Nor the good Germans who, in the wake of spring of 1945, said, Hitler? Who was this? Where's das Hitler? I've never heard of this Hitler. Oh, him! Yeah, no, never supported him. I have a taste for historical movies and watched a Jim Dandy over the weekend. 2017 German film simply called Rommel. I don't know how much of it was revisionist, but it was really well made. In German with subtitles. So that meant I had, you know, the funny thing about movies with subtitles is you actually have to pay more attention to them than the ones that are in your own native language. Really good. And as is the case with finding out all the machinations with Trump, I think the historical record bears this out from the Allied side. The Normandy invasion was far from a guaranteed success. Dwight Eisenhower had written two communiques, one in which the Normandy landings succeeded, and another in which it failed. And as we have found out, much to some of our shock, January 6th got closer than we dared think. To success. Now, this is a little bit gossipy, but just the same. By the way, we're into the second hour of the program. According to Radar Online, Melanoma is pissed at her beloved husband because she thinks that Nitwit Nero is using Baron as a political pawn in a social media post. Because, in fact, he did, over on Tripe Social, use the picture of his kid in a post designed to attack, of course, Joe Biden. What he said was, in an effort to level the playing field, Barron Trump will debate Joe Biden. Isn't that a rather profound insult against one's own son? Because the rap all along from the maggot camp has been that somehow Joe Biden is mentally defective. And so there's Nitwit Nero saying his son is an appropriate foil. A source, speaking to the aforementioned Radar Online, said, "Melanoma has been incredibly protective of Barron and has told Donald she would not stand for him to be exploited by anyone, even his father. He made a promise to protect their son, and he broke it. There's a good chance she won't forgive him, and the next time we see them together may be in divorce court." Despite Donald's denials, Melanoma has already had to endure an indictment in New York that suggests he had an affair with a porn star. That would be two. While she was pregnant with Barron, now she's livid after he's broken his promise of keeping their son out of the spotlight. And so after years and years and years of excoriating the media for so much as it even mentioning the kid, I mean, for God's sake, she went after the Food Network. There's her own hubby dragging him in. And, of course, Eric the Dumber did the same. I don't think there's any love lost between Melanoma and him either. And in a conversation with Representative Matt It Just Gates Worse on Newsmuck, Eric said that Jack Smith went personally is going through Barron's underwear drawer. They've got a that's not the first mention of somebody going, because recall when the search warrant was executed, that was the first place that either Eric the Dumber or Trader Tot Jr. Or maybe it was Nitwit Nero himself saying that
they went through Melanoma's panty drawer.
And John in Central PA, while you said that $200,000 bail is chump change to Nitwit Nero, well, a number of folks think that it will be sufficient to undo him. Georgia State Professor Eric Siegel said on the website formerly known as Twitter, presently owned by derpy Batman villain Leon Scum, "Set your watches, folks, because there's little chance he'll comply with not making any direct or indirect threat against witnesses, victims, co-defendants, or the community at large." Anthony Michael Christ, also a Georgia State University professor, said, "Barring a real come-to-Jesus moment," yeah, that's going to happen, "the only way Trump doesn't violate his Fulton County consent bond conditions is if his lawyers confiscate his phone." Mike Sington, formerly of NBC Universal, said Trump's bail for his arrest this week in Atlanta is set at $200,000. As part of his release, it was stipulated Trump shall perform no act to intimidate any person known to him or her to be a co-defendant or witness. We'll see how long that lasts. Dino Badala, who himself is law school trained and has a show over on satellite radio, said, "Given Trump is charged with 91 felonies, he should be held without bail." You know, that's theoretically accurate. Anyone else with 91 felonies might very well be held without bail. But, and this is another thing to take into consideration, you really don't want him in there if you're one of the Georgia, one of the Atlanta authorities. Because that jail, it's called Rice Street, is already subject to lawsuits for overcrowding. There have been 3 deaths in the last month, suspicious deaths in that jail. And as we queried last week, what do you do with the Secret Service if he's in the stir? Do you get a cell for 3? 2 Secret Service and Nitwit Nero? Having him in the joint might actually prove dangerous, hazardous, to anyone there who's actually innocent and being held without bond. Another individual, Tommy T. Ahonen, said, with John Eastman facing 9 criminal counts in Georgia with bond set at $100,000, this math says Giuliani, who faces 13 counts, will have bail set at $140,000. Rudy may not be able to afford it. And then Lisa Rubin said, who counts as a victim? Especially given that the wording is not limited to victim in this case. And what about the community? Who's a member of the community against which Trump may not make direct or indirect threats? Bond order was negotiated and agreed upon by both sides. These are questions I would have expected his counsel to ask and insist either on more clarity, more precise language. Oh, Ms. Rubin. You're assuming his lawyers are good. But the most important thing to note about the bail conditions are the fact that they are the toughest yet imposed upon him. And that says something about the seriousness of the charges in Georgia and the seriousness of D.A. Fonnie Willis. We should probably be cognizant of things that are happening elsewhere in government and other places, but in particularly in government. Today, the Feedum carcass, you know, Maggot Central in the House, that little knot of hard cases and dead enders has said that, they've issued their ransom demands. They've said that they will shut down the damn government unless Kevers' weaker Speaker McCarthy, the man with the spine of silly putty, gives them more money for border enforcement, cuts funding for the DOJ and the FBI, and eliminates woke policies at the Department of Defense. That last one means unless the House leadership agrees with Tommy the Tuber's position over in the Senate. Issuing a statement, these maggots said,
We refuse to support any such measure that continues Democrats' bloated COVID-era spending and simultaneously fails to force the Biden administration to follow the law and fulfill its most basic responsibilities. Any support for a clean continuing resolution would be an affirmation of the current fiscal 2023 spending level, grossly increased by the lame duck December 2022 omnibus spending bill that we all vehemently opposed just 7 months ago.
There are 40 days between now and the date, the drop-dead date, for finishing appropriations bills. Representative Chip Roy, one of those feed'em carcass members, he's from Gonorrhea Gulch, Texas, said, if you think we're going to come in 3 weeks, three partial weeks in September, and get the appropriations bills done, that seems unlikely. Hostage takers. That's what they are. We'll watch as this goes, and we'll see what happens to that cracked old mason jar with the rusted lid with his testicles in it that is in the back of the Freedom Carcass of McCarthy's, that's in the back of the Freedom Carcass's refrigerator. Back there amongst all their collected jars of pee-pee for in case they need a quick COVID cure. Trump, says Lee in New York, is not the Borg Queen. The Borg Queen learns, Nitwit Nero does not. The Borg Queen plans well, Nitwit Nero does not plan. The Borg Queen adds the knowledge of others to the collective, Nitwit Nero hates others. Nitwit Nero is more of a packled ruler.
He is smart.
Well played. Lee adds, melanoma? Upset? My guess is that she's upset because she saw his accurate financial statement. The revised prenup is worthless. Something came in over on the Scum website. Let me check. Hey, Tamara. Tamara said, I hope melanoma really is pissed and has to work again like the rest of us. That family will be fine. Been a while since we talked about the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters executive staff. But they never they never go away. They went to Gloucester, Virginia over the weekend and brought their guns with them because they think that they're a private army. Previously, three people had been arrested when they carried concealed weapons during a school board meeting there.
And so they got on their knees and held a protest
with their guns. Outside the schools. Jesus, these people. You know, it's probably saying a lot, but there used to be a time in this country when people, ordinary civilians walking around with military-style weapons, would have been seen as a threat. No more. Well, make no mistake, they're still a threat. It's just that they cannot be prosecuted as the threat that they are. Speaking of threats, oh, here we go again. Remember the constitutional sheriffs? They've got a longer name, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. They've been around for about 12 years now. They think that because they are a sheriff, that the Constitution of the United States makes them second in command under Almighty God, and they've got as much or more right to interpret the Constitution than the courts of this country. They are dumber than dirt and fascist to the core. And now they've moved into the unsavory world of nullification. They've kind of always been there. They're barking and grunting.
But we have to protect the citizens from the overreach of an out-of-control federal government. And refuse to enforce any law that a constitutional sheriff says is unconstitutional or unjust. It ain't the Constitution!
That's the very heart and soul of nullification, saying that federal law does not touch a county in which a constitutional sheriff holds office. Some creep named Dar Leaf, who is on the group's advisory board, interviewed by ABC News, said local law enforcement has no obligation to enforce such laws. They're not laws at all anyway. If they're unjust laws, they're laws of tyranny. This is the same bunch who went batshit crazy over wearing masks in order to slow the spread of a deadly pandemic. They barked and grunted and hooted and shrieked and howled over restrictions related to contact during the worst of the pandemic. And now they're being legitimized by some state governments by getting taxpayer-funded law enforcement training. They've held these trainings in at least 13 states. They've hosted events in 30. The ABC News story says in 6 states, the training was approved for officers' continuing education credits. The group also has supporters who sit on 3 state boards in charge of law enforcement training standards. I presume I don't have to say this with a hell of a lot of force. This is dangerous. This is pre-1860 nullification writ large. Now, over at the Institute for Constitutional Advocacy and Protection at Georgetown University, Mary McCord, who is a former federal prosecutor and runs that institute, said they have no authority, not under their state constitutions or implementing statutes, to decide what's constitutional and what's not constitutional. That's what courts have the authority to do, not sheriffs. There's another sort of evil lurking here, because
the Constitutional Sheriff's Protective Association
is now essentially part of a broader movement in the United States to think it's okay to use political violence if we disagree with some sort of government policy. Yes. They're fascists. They're insurrectionists. They're goddamn brown shirts, and it's okay to say that out loud. Then, over the weekend, because the sorts of people we're talking about are violent, they are homicidal, they are bloodthirsty. Oh, God. A businesswoman in Lake Arrowhead, California. Lori Carlton owned a business called Mag, Pie. Get it? Magpie. And Lori Carlton, mother of 9 children, was murdered on Friday. A man walked up to her store and ripped down the pride flag that she had on display. And when Lori Carlton walked out, I said, "What the hell do you think you're doing?" Pulled out a gun and murdered her. This all had the Lake Arrowhead is in San Bernardino County. Cops showed up, saw that she'd been shot. Paramedics came along and said, "Yep, she's dead." And when the cops showed up, they blew away her murderer. San Bernardino County Supervisor Dawn Rowe said it was a senseless act of hate and violence. No word on whether the entire thing, there's no one left to prosecute. No word on whether any investigation will be focused on a hate crime. Lori Carlton was not a lesbian. Lori Carlton was not bi. She was not trans. She was not in any wise queer. She is what many of us absolutely treasure and cherish. A straight ally. I posted over on my Instagram account, some of you follow me over there, posted a meme there yesterday. It was written across the trans pride flag, you know, the blue, pink, white, pink, blue. And it read simply, "First they came for the transgender community, and I spoke out immediately, even though I'm straight and cis, because I've read the rest of the fucking poem!" Like I said, how sad is it that I just tuned in mid you talking about that lady and I knew exactly immediately who you were referring to? I know, sis. Word gets around. Not like she was looking to be a martyr. She wanted to know why some asshole tore down her personal property. And this is any town, USA. But in this case, it was Lake Arrowhead, California in San Bernardino County. And it can happen anywhere at any time. And I have no doubt whatsoever that the thus far unnamed murderer was that darling of the National Rifle Association. A lawful gun owner. Because as often as not, the people doing this evil are constitutionally empowered, so they think, to own a fucking arsenal. But I think it's important to note why it is that something like a pride flag can drive an individual to murder. I really do kind of want to know if this asshole was a proud boy. I wish law enforcement would do a better job of finding out what kind of media these killers consume. Did he listen to Alex Jones? Did he listen to little Benny Drywife Shapiro or Matt Dysphoria Beard Walsh or Charlie Big Giant Empty Head Kirk or maybe Nick Fuentes, the straightest man in America because he's never had sex with a woman because having sex with a woman is gay? All these people are, we must bear in mind, weaponized. They're not just sitting around there being good, upstanding, God-fearing American citizens, and then the next day, maybe after dinner, they take a walk down to Mag, Pie, and the mere sight of a pride flag. And they're packing heat, by the way, because everybody knows that the mean streaks of Lake Arrowhead, California, require everyone to pack heat. It doesn't happen that way. These murderers are made. Created. Maybe he spent a lot of time on right-wing Twitter. Huh? I have ally friends here. Fierce, proud, vociferous allies. And I cherish them. And of course, maybe the murderer knew she was an ally. I presume Lake Arrowhead is a fairly small community. This is how fascism works. People have to be taught violently to keep their heads down and their mouths closed. Paul Feig, F-E-I-G, I presume it's Feig, was one of her best friends, Lori Carlton's. He's a film director. He directed Bridesmaids. He directed The Office. He directed the 2016 Ghostbusters film. And he was absolutely gutted by her murder. Feig said, her murderer was later shot and killed by the San Bernardino police and so no longer poses a threat to the community. But this intolerance has to end. Anyone using hateful language against the LGBTQ plus community has to realize their words matter, that their words can inspire violence against innocent, loving people. Let's all keep moving forward with tolerance and love. Let's not let Lori's tragic death be in vain. Yeah, tolerance and love. For everyone except the fascists. It is a paradox, and I forget the name of the guy for whom the paradox is named. But the paradox has to do with the fact that in order to have a tolerant society, you cannot tolerate fascism. Of course, I don't know what the weather's like in Lake Arrowhead in San Bernardino County right now. It's been ugly. What with Tropical Storm Hillary coming ashore. It was the wettest day in history in Palm Springs, California on Sunday, as well as in San Diego and downtown L.A. The highest rain total from Hillary in, you know, I think they would have known better than it, but anyway. The highest rain total so far was at Upper Mission Creek in San Bernardino, where 13 inches of rain fell. Hundreds of people were evacuated. Forest Falls, California, 700 people sheltering in place after mud and debris flow cut a road off from the rest of the community. Seven Oaks, California, another 30 people sheltering in place after flash floods hit a number of cabins in the area. And granted, it was only 5.1, but in the middle of all this, an earthquake. I saw a meme and I couldn't help but chuckle. Not laughing at, laughing with. Somebody said, earthquakes? Floods? I really think the people in L.A. should let the Israelites go. You know, before the frogs and the locusts and the rivers of blood come along. Ah, thank you, Flavio, serving as the paradox of tolerance. Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, Karl Popper. If a society is tolerant without limit, its ability to be tolerant is eventually ceased or destroyed by the intolerant. Popper said that in order to maintain a tolerant society, the society must retain the right to be intolerant of intolerance. 1945. You know, with the Nazis fresh in people's memory. The mountains of Riverside County, California saw 11.7 inches of rain. L.A. County got over 7 inches of, or 11 inches of rain in Riverside, 7 inches of rain in L.A. County, 3 inches in Palm Springs, 8.4 inches in Bristlecone, Nevada, northwest of Las Vegas. They got 6 inches in 24 hours. Wind gusts in Southern California up in the San Gabriel Mountains got up to 87 miles an hour, 84 miles an hour at Big Black Mountain. Elsewhere, I think Yellowknife, Northwest Territories, Canada, may have gotten something approaching the Lahaina treatment. It was 10.5 inches of rain at Raywood Flat, California, in the San Bernardino National Forest. Flood control basins reached right to the very surface of the highway. Within LA proper, 6.15 inches fell. The highest ever daily total for rainfall in August fell in San Diego at 1.81 inches. Thousands of people were without power as of midnight. About 14,000 people without electricity in San Bernardino County. Power outages of 7,900 people in L.A. County. Hopefully that's been restored by now. This has been a nightmare. And the thing is, this may be the first such storm in 87 years, but it ain't going to be another 87 more. Might just be next year. Or maybe next month. President Biden and First Lady Dr. Jill Biden arrived in Hawaii to survey the damage in Maui. President Biden said, "My heart, my prayers, and my focus are on the victims of the Maui wildfires and their families. I know how profoundly loss can impact a family and a community, and I know nothing can replace the loss of life. I will do everything in my power to help Maui recover and rebuild from this tragedy. We will be here as long as it takes for Maui. You'll note, he didn't throw paper towels at anyone. Brian Schatz, Senator Brian Schatz, said of Biden's visit, "There are some times when a president promises support, but the cabinet doesn't fully really internalize the message. And that's not what's happening here. The cabinet is motivated to help Hawaii and figure out every way they can. Every federal resource that is possible to mobilize at this stage has been mobilized. Most of my day is interacting with the federal government and trying to figure out how we can provide more support. And if I had any complaints, I would not be afraid to verbalize them. And remember, this is the same Biden administration that got a major artery of I-95 that fucking collapsed, reopened in a month's time. That would have taken the clowns and hucksters and pettifoggers and pickpockets and foot pads of the Trump administration sometime till, like,
I don't know, 2026
to get done. I know he's not nearly ideologically pure enough. But damn it, Joe Biden, I'm happy to say, is so much better a president than I ever dreamed possible. And you know, part of the measure of the man's competence and genius is the degree to which stupid people bark and grunt about him and hate on him. Every time I want to go up to the Rippy Mart, I got to get out on US 60, toddle up the road past a yard, some dude who has a "Fuck Biden" sign in his yard, prominently displayed. Yeah, because he's smart. Going back to Lake Arrowhead for a moment. See, says Brother Deacon Asa, I've repeated this for over a decade until I'm blue in the face and it falls on deaf ears. Guns don't kill people. Pride flags kill people, goddammit. Brother Deacon, too soon. I know, it's never too soon. This is kind of fun. We got a clip from MSNBC here. Nicole Wallace talking to some experts. Speculation, but it's joyful speculation. Mark Meadows.
See it, and I could see all your thought bubbles. I want to hear all of them.
Oh, yeah, I have quite a few, Nicole. First of all, I am so impressed when I hear evidence of Mark Meadows saying things that pretty dramatically undercut Donald Trump's claims regarding the classified documents, like he telepathically declassified them with his mind, like they were automatically declassified when he took them from the White House. When you have his own chief of staff, a fellow Republican, Mark Meadows, completely, you know, eviscerate those claims. You also have Mike Pence in his own mealy mouth way going a long way to also undercut those claims. You know, once these cases are in trial, Nicole, Donald Trump will be convicted by a chorus of Republican voices. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think back to the January 6th House Select Committee. You know, I think there was nary a Democrat that we saw testify. So once these cases are in trial proper, I do maintain it's going to kind of be like shooting fish in a barrel. Donald Trump will not have a compelling defense. It also takes me back to when I was prosecuting gang cases. If I was trying gang number one and I would call witnesses from gang number two, a rival gang, to testify against gang number one, there was obviously a built-in line of cross-examination for bias, for prejudice, because, of course, you're sponsoring the testimony of the enemies of the defendant. It doesn't mean they're lying, but it puts their credibility instantly in question. Well, Donald Trump's own gang members from the GOP are going to be the ones presenting the most sharply incriminating information against Donald Trump. So, you know, these cases are quite strong. The other thing that I'm really interested to figure out, because it's a stone cold mystery right now, what is Mark Meadows' status? Because once we saw that he was neither an indicted defendant in the D.C. indictment that was handed down, nor was he one of those six unnamed co-conspirators, but I think we know who five of the six are, and none of them are Mark Meadows. That led to the reasonable inference, indeed the strong inference, that Meadows is cooperating. That seems to be bolstered and supported by all of the incriminating things that have come to our attention one way or another, courtesy of Mark Meadows. And yet then he ends up a RICO defendant indicted in Georgia. So ordinarily, I can tell you, when I was a prosecutor in D.C. and I was investigating or prosecuting somebody who had criminal liability in other jurisdictions, which was not that unusual. People may have been committing crimes, you know, across the district line in Prince George's or Montgomery County, or across the river in Arlington and Alexandria in Virginia. We, the prosecutors in the various jurisdictions, would communicate early and often, and we'd work very hard to come up with what we call a global plea agreement, because that's the cleanest and tidiest way to deal with somebody who will become a cooperating witness. Have all of the jurisdictions get together and deal with all of the criminal exposure that a particular defendant who aspires to be a cooperating witness might have. Well, that doesn't seem to be the way it has played out thus far with respect to Mark Meadows. So I am keenly interested to see how Mark Meadows ends up in this sad saga. Will he be a straight up cooperating witness who is prepared to take responsibility for all of his own crimes and misconduct, and then is willing to testify truthfully about the crimes of others? But at this moment, I think it's an open question what his status ultimately will be.
That's great.
I mean, David, his status is a mystery. My best guess is his status is a client of George Terwilliger. That's the only reason it's a mystery, because his conduct is so clear
from
Cassidy
Hutchinson's
testimony. I mean, the gang analogy is interesting, because Meadows is the one that makes clear that when it came to gangs, Trump stood with the insurrectionists on the day of January 6th. And he said to his own lawyers, you know, he thinks Mike deserves it. That's the White House chief of staff who thinks that Mike deserves it. Was being hanged.
Yeah, Nicole, I think Glenn's question is a very good one, and I'm curious if the vice is just not tight enough yet on Mark Meadows, because I served with Mark Meadows, I know Mark Meadows, and I believe today that Mark Meadows is sung like a canary already to Jack Smith. And I say that because he is somebody that holds himself out with a bit of a compass. Now, that requires you to skip past the fact that he went to work for Donald Trump, which holds all these moral questions in and of itself. But he is somebody who considers himself to have a certain amount of compass. And I also just don't think he's somebody that wants to go to prison for Donald Trump. I think he's in that category of people who say, wait, if my personal jeopardy, my personal freedom are on the line, I'm happy to talk about Donald Trump. And so with that in mind, you know, what I am curious about is this move by Mark Meadows to try to move the Georgia matter to federal court avoids the substantive matter, avoids the substantive question. It raises this federal question if he can get out in federal court without addressing the hard questions in Georgia. And I actually think that's consistent with him having cooperated with Jack Smith. I guess I'd have a question a bit for Glenn or John's reporting. Could Jack Smith actually support that removal from state court to federal court? Because at the end of the day, what I truly, truly believe about Mark Meadows is he's cooperating and he's going to give up the president.
John Carl.
Well, I don't know about supporting the effort to move the case in Georgia, but I do know this. Donald Trump fought mightily to try to keep Mark Meadows from testifying. He invoked executive privilege. They went to court to try to keep him from testifying, and ultimately they failed, which is why Meadows at least initially agreed to talk to the special counsel under subpoena. So I don't know. I mean, the big question that you're, that both of you are raising is there a cooperation agreement? Is there something more? But what we can see from this reporting we've done at ABC is at the very least, Meadows has been speaking to investigators of the special counsel's office.
And let's remember why Mark Meadows eventually wound up having to do that. And I love the way David Jolly put it. Oh, he sung like a canary. He has to do that because of a young woman named Cassidy Hutchinson. Plain and simple. Yeah. Because she refused to throw away her young life for a jiggling, adipose, waddling orange blob of insecurities and petty grievances and sin. And that put Meadows in a corner. And when Jolly was talking about, he has a compass. Well, what he was saying in code there is, he's a Christian. Because at one point in time, when he was running for election or re-election in North Carolina, his status as a gospel sharp was a selling point. Christian. Mark Meadows, Stephen, New York, says, I think he's just dumber than a sack of doorknobs and probably still doesn't get the gravity of the cesspool he's swimming around in. I'm not so sure. I think he really wanted to maintain omerta. But Cassidy Hutchinson took that away from him. And so now, as Mediaite is reporting. Meadows has given information to Jack Smith that is directly contradictory to Marcus Aurelius's defense in the documents trial. Whoever gave this information to ABC News said, Meadows says he can't recall Trump ever ordering or discussing declassifying broad amounts of classified materials before he left office. That is, of course, directly contrary to the things that Nitwit Nero has burbled on and on about time after time after time. And he said he didn't know anything at all about a double secret probation order that automatically declassified material, you know, with his Mentat powers. I guess an early draft of The Chief's Chief by Mark Meadows had a passage, perhaps deleted in the editing process, that talked about how Nitwit Nero had a classified war plan laying on the couch of his office at Bed Monster in a meeting with Meadows' ghostwriter and publicist. So, again with the pressure cooker. Yes, Christopher. The devil, but her e-squalls. Really? Hurricane Hillary? Did Trey Gowdy get a grift position over at the World Meteorological Organization? I'd suspect he'd be perfect for a key position at SkyHub, a UFO watchdog organization. Those alien ears of his, who could possibly serve better? Happy Monday, Robin. Happy Monday, Horn family. And Tots and Pears, no, seriously, much love out to Tracy, Rick, and all of our other Inland Empire dwellers. Stay safe, please. I've been thinking about everybody in the Horn Family Community Congregation down there today. Jude says, listening on my way home from work, the Daily Coast had a number of had numerous cartoons. The one that caught my eye was of Trump, his attorney, standing in front of a judge. The judge states, try not to commit a crime on your way back to your car. P.S. You're a master of voices, Robin. Thank you, Jude. Your Trump is perfect as you're able to capture the cartoonish aspect of him. He's a cartoon villain with real-world implications. The real gift affirmations, which you so freely offer, Robin, to others, when that needed window is opened, I observe daily how one's countenance shifts on those being given that type of an affirmation. It is powerful as it lifts the energy fields. Great work and focus, dear sister. Thank you, Jude. Thank you. And so, we have gone 2 hours into this Moran Monday with Ralph's $200,000 bail bond challenge on the table to the tune of $25, the $1,200 fundraising goal, and that challenge remains unmet. That would at least get us down to $1,150, and every penny that we knock down between now and the end of August keeps the lupine pest a little further from the porch, if anybody would care to help. Let's run over to the stress line, see if we still got somebody there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Evening, Mr. Robin.
Hey, Jerry, how are you?
Terrible, but, and I want to put this out here before I talk about my kids to go. Horn family, and I'm talking to you in the back. You in the fridge right there trying to get something in the microwave. This is going to be a, you can eat, safety call. I'll cook it if you got them. Need you to contribute to Robin. I am in a bit of financial distress, man. Well, I'm putting $2 on the bar top here. I'm ordering a seltzer water, and I'm just going to dump out my, because I don't have a lot of politics today. I have people stuff, but the thing I love about you, the thing I love about the Horn, this is a people show. We got a problem. We got a rock in our shoe, or we got something to celebrate. This is where we go. But if we talk about politics on the way there, that's good. But this is South to the Soul today. I'm at the nexus of the great nation. As I've mentioned in previous shows, I had a traumatic brain injury in 2006. I also had a mom die, my spouse die, and we all went through COVID together. So, recently in my personal life, I was exposed to so much short-term rage that I decided to go through all my little boxes and just say in the program, you more injured. I'm going to feel it physical inventory because through time and life, we all pick up boxes and bags and sticks. Sometimes in memory, sometimes it's things just to throw away. And one day, we got to go through it. The problem for me was I couldn't go through it before today because I didn't know what was important. It wasn't in my right mind up until now, and I don't mean running down the street, no pants on, this popped a new function. That'd be 85% of what it was before the head. I hope I'm not too long. Did you follow me so far?
Right there.
Bobby?
I'm right
so
there.
What I've had to do today is go through all the fucking. Today I remember my mom died. And I remember that hope we had, how that shit worked out. And I'm going to see. Birth certificate. Things I missed a little bit of short because of COVID and I've been addicted and I'm losing my mind and I didn't have any support. And I had a funny call today from my sister. You know, my mental breakdown. I seriously did this yet. I said thanks to everybody. Because I was, my brain was booted. You know, I was in a lot of ways because there's a lot of things going on I didn't understand. I feel like a time traveler today. Finally got out of this hardest of the machine, and I'm putting the records together. What happened? I have baby pictures of kids that adult children I barely know. I'm looking at the career that I used to have, and mine was pretty good. I'm pretty fucking good. And I'm going through it all. And I'm at the point in my life where, well, there's a line that goes, God, something, the things I cannot change, the first change the things I can. Today,
hey, Jerry, Jerry, yeah. I hate to interrupt, but you're a little bit muddy. You're a little bit muddy and muffled.
Better? Yeah.
Infinitely.
All right. Today, yeah, this needs to be cleaned. Is the day I've decided I'm not doing this X, Y, Z, or A anymore. I'm not putting up with that attitude. I'm not putting up with that person. And I'm not going to get bitter. But I'm going to advocate for myself. The first thing that triggered me today was that fucking rainbow flag. I like the rainbow flag. I go into a business with a rainbow flag. I've never had a bad time, been mistreated, had bad change, or had less than a four-star experience. And I say that as an ally. Somebody might there might even think I'm pretty. Okay? It's a totally positive experience. I go to those places and generally have a good time. I mean, if I'm being granularly honest, I'm not looking for PP. I'm looking for the hetero women who are confused why no men are looking at the pretty boys, not looking at them. And I'll go, I'm looking at you, and that usually works. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's just great. But the point being, the person I met last week, one of the things I realized about them is they were a bigot. They make fun of trans people. I advocated for trans people. I'm that person. I'm the oldest brother, the oldest son, the firstborn child, and I'm from the Bronx. There is a minimal level of acceptable bullshit that people from New York and people from Florida put up with. They need to know more. This ends today. I saw some protesters, counter-protesters to some that fucking Trump abomination. It had like wheels and flags and flags and flags and flags and flags and the dumbass one. And some New Yorkers who were from the Bronx were like, get that clean shit out of here. Fuck you. Fuck Donald Trump. There's no Trump trains for you. And they dived in front of the trucks. And it was a bit of a mess, but it was a little pushback. And the New Yorkers coming in my voice. Let me stop that for a second. Listen. Oh, and I made a really nice post on Reddit, and I said I would audio tag those people if they're coming off the post, and it did well. And where we talk about when I put politics, humor, and food porn. So, because that's how you build in the 21st century. The 21st century, and this is the bittersweet part. When I was a little kid, I used to dream about the 21st century because in that future, it seemed like white people would get along. And I'm crying a little bit right now because I've been very emotional. Things like that are important to me because I have mixed children who live in rural parts of this country. So, you know, and if you, for persons of color in the crowd, if you drive, they're driving in the car, with the windows up, they look white. And that's the best thing I could do for them to keep them alive in this fucking country. But I'm looking over my life. and it's been weird. And it feels like I'm setting up for the best part right now. But I'm full of a lot of emotion. This is all very heavy. I've had ample opportunity to get involved in negative interactions, and I haven't. In fact, the thing that prevented me from doing all of this was I didn't want to cry, but today I decided I'm going to fucking cry if I have to keep going. And if you've ever packed up a loved one's shit who's no longer with you, you know,
I have.
And I bring, it just hangs out, and you stay there and you look at it and you go, not today. And you keep walking. But one day it is today. Because partially you need the space and the clarity and the flow. I met a fucking fraud last week. But this time, in an effort to take care of myself, I said, I'm not going to sleep with that person as much as I want to. I want to see who the fuck they are. And who they were.
Look at you growing.
Story. Yeah. Oh, it was really, really hard. At the end of the story, I've tried to do that for 50 years of my life. Finally pulled it off. I was like, oh, wow. We did the speed fight thing. And you're a piece of shit. You're a bigot. You're an alcoholic. And you say some fucked up things, and how you treated that fucking waitress at a restaurant I pass every day, and I tip my fucking hat. Sometimes I go in there and watch a game. I'm done. We're done. Because somebody once said, and I think it was a gay person, if you want to know how you're going to be treated, watch how they treat the waitress. That'll be you in 6 months. That's a good maxim. So why did I call? Oh, I know. There's a bunch of reasons, but here's the main reason. And this is dark, but we're headed into the light here. There were people online talking about they were going to start banning all cannabinoids like Delta 8, Delta 10, Delta PXQZY, whatever. And I was like, enough. I will no longer accept anything from these people. I don't want to know your opinion on what's legal and what's not. And I definitely don't want to fucking buy weed from the people who are kicking in doors and shooting at people. All right? I don't want to play this stupid game anymore. I don't want to ask your permission. And if you say there's a smell, and this, I'm going to prep here, is a violent statement. Okay? But we've been sitting on our hands way too long because they make violent statements all the time. And we never push back. So today, if you think you smell something, keep walking. Because otherwise, this is not going to go well for you. And maybe, and I'm calling it the band of the hat, okay? This cannabis thing was always a politics thing. So I'm going to decouple the racism so you can make money? Fuck you, okay? Fuck you with a pitchfork. And I say specifically, Ron DeSantis, who's fucked up our medical cannabis system already, because he was never on board anyway. He was one of the shitheads in the legislature stepping on the fucking bill for 8 years. So because it's politics, you're going to do what we say. How about that? And maybe you get tax money. That may be a radical position for some of the pro-fluffers in the back, but these people got guns. And they want you to do what they say. I just want to be left the fuck alone and feel better. Because for whatever physical or mental ailment at that moment, cannabis works. And I can't fucking get a psychiatrist appointment anyway or have my Medicare clear. I want you out of my way on this. And I'm not asking your permission, and I'm not getting a goddamn card. Rant over. How you doing, Robbie?
Well, I mean, you're really, really cogent this afternoon.
Yeah, things have changed.
Kind of laser beam focused. And not to put, this is not me putting too fine a point on it. It's also not me I told you so-ing you. But do you remember a few weeks ago when you were telling me, well, you know, DeSantis can do this and DeSantis can do that, but this is South Florida and he can fuck off? You just figured it out, didn't you?
No, I didn't figure it out. I don't want this fight because I'm a black man in a fucking racist-ass state. And once I have this awakening, I can't shut up. I'm going to use the same techniques that they use to fuck with shit, specifically the PAC system and the moving money around, to make this work. And it's going to piss them all off. I'm going to use all their tricks. That PAC system's deadly. Specifically, great way to sell nickel and dime bags and sign people up to vote. Oh, we got weed. Yes, it's hemp. And they're signing up to vote. They're making a contribution. They're in the fucking pack. Free speech, bitches. I'm tired of collective governments fucking around with this. They're all doing it. Every single one. And everybody just nods their head and go, okay, we can smoke weed. I guess I'll hold one leg up while I smoke and wear a purple hat. Thank you. This is bullshit. Specifically the cannabis thing. The Democrats have glad-handed and go, oh, yeah, the Republicans want to do it. And if those fucks in the Freedom Caucus or those Nazis get, they really hate cannabis, okay? They don't like it. They're going to yank that back as well, just like they yank back abortion, just like they want to yank back gay rights or gay recognition. I've almost seen this movie before. So that's what I'm doing. Eventually, as you showed us, you gotta show and be who you are. It's too painful otherwise. I was thinking, looking at all this stuff, and I'm finally down to a pair of red panties. You gotta smile about that.
Yeah, what? Huh?
Yeah, her red panties, we went out like 4 years ago. 5 years ago, maybe.
Oh, the clean out. Oh, my God, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you helped me through. And the normalcy of the show and just being here and talking about having the drone in the background as I'm throwing away papers and ripping up stuff so there's no numbers on it so nobody steals an identity or blames me for stealing. You know what I'm saying? That kind of stuff that you also have to worry about. It's been like an acclimatization to the year 2023. I haven't been in the right year in 15 years. Now this brings us to another point. That's closer to what's bugging me. I've always been the brightest and the best my whole life. I was the chosen one. Then I hit my head in 2008. I couldn't work anymore because, and I don't know what the brain breakdown is, because nobody took a proper look at my brain until cuffs might have been involved, and even then, they didn't. The part of your brain that controls emotion and fight or flight cascade, which is already pretty damaged when you're bipolar, was totally broken the last 15 years. I literally couldn't control myself, good, bad, or indifferent. And I sometimes use substances, legal and illegal, to modulate that. And if I woke up wanting to kill people, I wouldn't get high. And the world would live another day. Or if I wanted to kill myself, I was going to go get high. And the world would live another day. Because when I talked to my doctor about the concussion, he'd want to talk about the bipolar. I don't know, the concussion has fucked something up over and over and over and over again. You're asking medical assistance. So finally, when I was trying to kill somebody with a machete last August or October, I was like, hey! And then everybody waved the whole schizophrenia finger. Well, if you're not schizophrenic, there's a schizophrenic medication, I'm sure, is going to be implemented by the CIA one day for torture and questioning. It was bad. It was like coming through the transport sideways. And I just barely got right from that, maybe a month ago. The fear, the noises, everything else. It induced schizophrenic symptoms. So, let's move on from that. My younger brothers were completely willing to ride, he's just a crackhead narrative. They just move on with their lives. And that's the thing that's been killing me lately, as I sit and think. If I thought they had a substance abuse problem, I would have never let them go until they stopped breathing. Why was it so easy to discard me? And I'm having a problem with that, Rob.
It's not irrational that you would.
There's a lot of messy details I'm going to leave out. But I said some vicious things today and nobody had anything to say. They were like, oh, your backpack. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. And I got receipts. So, in typical liberal fashion. Oh, and my dad's stepwife had heart problems over the weekend. So, in typical Dolphin fashion, when they do really, really good, like they did this weekend during a preseason, that means my life's going to go sideways. And it did. But I made it to the show, Robin.
Yes, you did.
And I
had no decent reason for doing it, but I was sitting back here putting my makeup on before I went out, and I just clicked on some preseason NFL, and I ran across a story, and Tua Tagovailoa has kind of gotten on the wrong side.
Yeah, I saw that. Let that go. You know what, though?
You know,
incredibly conservative.
You know, I know exactly
what you're saying. I didn't even click on it, but my daughter watched that and wanted me to go watch it because my ex-wife's husband went to the fucking Capitol Gator Six. There, I said it out loud.
Yeah, okay.
And whipped out the N-word recently. And I haven't punched him in his shit.
Well, in this case, just so that everybody else won't feel like there's a conversation going on here that they're not party to, the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa, recommended that everybody go and see that lunatic POS movie, Sound of Freedom. Cost $14 million to make. It's grossed $174. And it's kind of a QAnon cue ball movie for cue ball novices. Oh, but Tua.
It's cue ball.
Tua was impressed. And I don't mean to insult anybody because, well, I tried to get a degree there once, but he came from a little university in West Central Alabama that I attended, you know, the Capstone, Alabama, and apparently some of the ugly right-wing horseshit rubbed off on him while he was there, so he's a Jim Caviezel fanboy now. And took all of that noxious, paranoid cue ball shit for gospel.
Well, you know what? It's all well produced, and we don't do anything to counter. We don't do anything. We don't. We sit there and go,
there's nothing.
Look at all these facts.
Hold on, Jerry. There's nothing to counter in that movie. It's garbage.
Yeah, there is.
It's garbage. You don't make a movie about how bad a movie was.
No. You're doing it wrong. You're doing it like a Democrat. Do it like a radical. This is how you counteract that, right? You make a movie with captions, a family sneaking up to the border, okay? Right? Because this is actually happening, okay? There's rape and pillaging going on in their thing. There's American corporation skull fuckery, which is actually real. There's climate change, and if the family goes, we're going to go to North America, and you feel bad for these people, and they have a little family. You got like three girls and two boys, and you know what happens when they get to the border? They're separated, and you show the concentration camp that Trump actually did. And you go for the same emotional payload. We never go for emotional payload. There is no emotional payload with facts. That's why I think Trump going to the rail disaster, I was like, that motherfucker is brilliant. Passing out water, that was brilliant. His policies caused it, but he got all the credit for it. And they blamed Joe Biden. Emotional payload. I know these things.
But Jerry, I learned about your
America from watching you.
Who did you expect them to blame in East Palestine, Ohio? That place went for Trump by orders of magnitude. They were primed for it. They got a maggot congressman. And now he looks presidential. Jerry, don't overtalk me.
I'm sorry.
They were primed for it, and hopefully now they've learned the hard way not to be so well chumped.
Why would you think that, you know what? When that's a disorder thing as opposed to a disrespect thing. I'll try to contain that. I'm sorry. And it's from excitement. It means that what you're saying is so resonating with me, I just gotta burst out what I'm saying. Please don't take it any other way. But no, they're gonna constantly shoot themselves in the dick. That's what they do there. Ray, Jim Jordan. But the optics, you know, the person drooling in their fucking Cheerios in Omaha, that clicked. And like, who did they send? They sent Kamala, did they? Yeah, they did. A couple weeks later, she read some disc. They were going to do investigations.
They sent the person who was relevant to the situation, Pete Buttigieg.
Okay,
you know, but Secretary of Transportation.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. No emotional payload, though. I think the 95 collapse was better. Because I'm just, you were born in this. I had to understand it by watching. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
I just know what makes the heads nod, it's up and down. Good, bad, or indifferent. And America is much as a mindset as anything else. But we're in a slow jihad here. And people are going through the war. We are in a civil war. They give out battle plans. They're in groups. They're in this. They're in that. You know. I'm really excited about, what is it, Friday? He goes to see Chutkin. And on Thursday, he has to see.
Thursday, he's turning himself in Atlanta. And then Friday, yeah, Chutkin.
This is a week.
Well, no, the 28th. The 28th, there's a hearing in D.C.
Okay.
So that's Monday. So Thursday in Atlanta, next Monday in D.C.
What did you think about Ramaswamy saying he wants to get rid of Juneteenth?
I think he's a piece of shit. And I mean, he's a brown-skinned guy trying to make headway with the white people, or as Michael Harriet refers to him, the white people.
It smells kind of indie casting.
There's a term that Tracy uses, but I cannot for what he's doing.
Oh. Give me the first letter.
C. And it's a participle.
Oh.
You know, it ends in ing.
You know what? I think I need Tracy to give us a proof of life here in English. Help me out with that, because she can only say the words.
And you gotta remember, Vivek Ramaswamy also had the unmitigated gall, because wealth privilege, to black-splain, you know, it was shortly before CNN helped him to the ledge and gave him a gentle shove. He blacksplained Don Lemon when, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy is brown, but he is not, he has no understanding, knowledge, comprehension of the black experience in the United States.
He nods his head like he does. And he, you know, so, I think he's the one that pisses me off the most.
Well, in that memo that that the Dark Money PAC produced about how monkey...
Dark Money, that was funny.
Yeah, okay. It was unintentional, but it worked. But that that memo that the Dark Money PAC produced telling Monkey Up Duplantis how to perform in Milwaukee Wednesday, this coming Wednesday... They said he really, really needs to go back, go after Vivek Ramaswamy and be extra double plus, you know, mean. Okay. I mean, if I tune into that pageant at all, it's going to be, it's going to be to see Chris Christie sort of, I mean, the man, you know, Mike Giuliani. The man was a Republican U.S. attorney, so he knows how to prosecute a case. And if in front of that audience he begins to lay out the case against Donald Trump, well, that gang of mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing, picking their teeth with their toenail clippings maggots is absolutely going to be hopping up and down and flinging poo for all they're worth. But the thing is, he will be speaking truth to power. It will be obnoxious, and it will be embarrassing, on the other hand, to see people like Asa Hutchinson, if he even makes it onto the stage. Right now, that's an open question, saying, well, you know, Donald Trump did some wrong things, but I guess I'd vote for him if he was the nominee. And that's what most of them are going to do. Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Nimrata Haley, I've got the under at 2 minutes before she refers to turning the government over to Kamala Harris, because she's trying to wishcraft Joe Biden dead, and of course she is another South Asian individual who is playing the anti-American black card.
Those people in particular are pissing me off. I'm just going to say it for the same reason they used to piss me off when I was in New York and they used to run little stores, okay? And they would look at you and go, oh, you're a black person. You're here to steal. My mom almost roundhouse kicked one of them, and which was impressive because she was all a 4'10 when I was a kid. She lost her shit. And, you know, it's the same vibe. And she used to go, how do you fucking come to America and just decide to hate black people? I went to a better school than you did. We're both the same color and look at us. They backed away from the counter. It's still a valid argument. It's the same fucking argument. Is it not?
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm going to dive around the word here, but it's almost like a little dance of we hate N-words too. Like us, please like us. The Mexicans do a thing like that too.
Yeah. Sure.
They do.
I don't know how many times I have to say it. I mean, I really don't really have to say it because everybody knows it, but this, it's a good time to remind people that every marginalized group has its unfortunate share of ass kissers and lick spittles. Vivek Ramaswamy is one from the South Asian community. There are similarly situated individuals from the Hispanic community. You know, South Carolina's Tim Scott is running for president. He's another one.
He's running as a good N-word. One of the good ones. And that's
right. And we've all got our one of the good ones, you know. In my community, Caitlyn Jenner. You know?
Wow.
And more broadly speaking, inside my community, we got pick me girls, and we got one of the good ones, and they sit around in online spaces, barking and grunting and hooting about how the non-real transsexuals are ruining it for the good ones, you know, them.
What does that mean?
Well, see, the people who call themselves true transsexuals think that everybody who hasn't gone all the way through the surgical process is somehow insufficiently trans or participating in trans, or that non-binary people aren't valid because you've got to either be a he or a she, not a they or a them. And none of these, you know, whether it's the Tim Scotts and Herb Cains in the black communities, or the Vivek Ramaswamis and Namrata Haleys in the South Asian community, it matters not. They all fail to understand that they are never going to be accepted by the white patriarchal infrastructure. They may... Do you remember Blazing Saddles?
Yep. Greatest movie of all time.
You remember Gene Wilder looking at Cleavon Little saying, "Well, what do you expect? Welcome, son? Marry our daughters?"
That movie gets better every time you watch it.
Yeah, it does. And that is where that's actually where our Moran Monday quote comes from. You know, this one.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know. Morons.
And I guess that makes me extremely elitist. But in my own community, when I see trans women who don't understand that they're going to go to the fucking gas chambers right alongside a they them or somebody who doesn't want surgery, squealing the whole way, "But I'm one of the good ones."
I could add a gross detail layer, but I won't. But yeah, they'll be used before they're murdered. Let's just put it that way.
And the fact of the matter, I try to avoid these issues. I really, really do. But the fact of the matter is, I guess I actually fall within that subcategory called transsexuals. It feels like a really outdated and antiquated usage, but I was not content to simply say, "Yeah, here I am," and then not do anything to try to live as the gender I have felt to be all my life. I went through...
You took the Aquarius path.
Well, I am an Aquarius.
Yeah, you true blue right to the end, down to the buttons. You've got all girl buttons.
But you know, it wasn't easy. And this is not me tooting my own trumpet or anything like that. But it was what was necessary for me to finally be happy. But I swear to God, as long as those one of the good ones pick me girls are out there running around calling themselves true transsexuals, I'll be goddamned if I'll use the term. Because I don't even want to be remotely associated with those fucking Heathers. Or Christies.
I like how I say Miami instead of Florida.
You know me. I love my movie clips. Let me see if I can find this. Because it's such a beautiful little comeuppance moment. And it's just so fun.
While you sort that, I have an algorithm moment. When I was mad at this person yesterday, YouTube provided the perfect breakup song. I was like, thank you, YouTube gods. Apropos of nothing, but in the 21st century, you get a breakup song. So that's kind of nice. And someone made a compliment on your voices. No. They
that was
undersold
Jude.
It.
That was
You could do your Trump is the best. It's not the best. It's in the top three. It literally, I wait for it every show. And if you don't do it, I hear it in your voice. When I hear Trump's voice, it's your voice. It's not even Trump's voice because Trump doesn't sound like Trump lately. He's wheezy. He's doing all the drugs. He looks like shit. Have you noticed that? Why is he sweating so much? What the fuck? Don't have AC in there? Have you noticed? He's just pouring sweat. Like he has a bomb strapped to him. And there's a bus that can't go below 88 miles an hour. Did you find your clip?
I'm looking. I'm trying to see if I've got it here. Oh, where is it? Oh, here it is, I think.
What do you got?
I'm at YouTube. Yeah, this is it.
Okay.
Hold on. You know, Romy and Michelle have been tormented by the pick me girls from their high school graduating class, and then this happens.
Are you sure you want to do this? Oh yeah, Michelle, I'm so sure. What the hell is your problem, Christy? Why are you always such a nasty bitch? You get some kind of sick pleasure from torturing other people? I mean, yeah, okay. So Michelle and I did make up some lame story. We only did it because we wanted you to treat us like human beings. But you know what I finally realized? I don't care if you like us, because we don't like you. You're a bad person with an ugly heart, and we don't give a flying fuck what you think.
Come on. What movie is that?
Okay. And, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's one of my favorites. It's Romy and Michelle's high school reunion from 1997.
I gotta check that out.
You've never seen it?
I've never seen it.
Heathers.
Heathers is my perfect.
Well, yeah,
perfect
and that's
movie
and,
in that
and,
genre.
Yeah, Heathers. Yeah, I mean, well, and the Heathers from, that's a dark movie, Heathers. But the Heathers from Mean from
yes it is
from but the Heathers from Mean Girls and that's all they are. They're just mean girls shitting on other people. One of my sisters, who will go nameless, said, "Well," she said, "I don't care if that gets aired." Micah said, "Ah, people like me." I wonder how that works for those of us who deaf want the hormones, thank God, right brain chemistry, but isn't sure I'm dysphoric enough to want to deal with all the inherent risks and costs of surgery. And, well, I mean, the bottom line, hon, is that according to the Heathers, according to the true transsexuals, you're just a male fetishist. And I feel dirty and ugly even saying that. Because you're not. Honey, you're a girl. I know. We talk. How many years on this program, at least going back to 2015, have I been talking about, you know, just within Democratic Party politics, how many years have I been talking about the sparkle fart propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol with their purity tests? It's real. And this is just a different version. Oh, and by the way, thank you very kindly to Suman out in Arizona, serving as a pronunciation guide. Vivek Ramaswamy It's pronounced like Weevac. Asshole, however, is pronounced the same way in India as what in as one would in the U.S., and yes, he is one. Well, you know what? I will correct myself, Suman, but don't sit around. Well, and again, that's another one of those little tests we can add to this evening. Hi, Joe. Hi, Mika. You guys were great this morning. Let's see if my the morning zoo crew starts pronouncing it Weevac now, because everybody is saying everybody's either saying Vivek or Vivek, including me. Thank you.
Joe and Mika.
Thank you for the help, Suman. Don't be mean to Joe and Mika. This is what they listen to figure out what the program's going to be in the morning. Don't fuck my drag, okay? But if you want to say something.
I got something for Joe and Mika.
Okay, be nice.
All right, Joe, Mika. All right, I'm putting the phone in my ear because I have to do the person of color hand slap. It just comes out of you. I'm still not over you platforming Donald Trump. Morning after morning after morning, and go, oh, Donald Trump's calling, and I'll jumping up around like fucking idiots and going, oh, and talking against him now. You guys did it. You guys were the 40,000 votes. It was y'all. If you would have asked him a fucking question, we wouldn't be here right now. So you got lots of penance. I'm going to need you to pass out meals to homeless. I don't know what it is yet, but you need to volunteer at a shelter, because your penance is not paid right now. It's not. You did this. You did this to us. Okay, and so they go, oh my God, to making your whole show now. Oh my God, what's Donald doing now? No, it's not working for me. Which is why that's your dirty morning habit, Robin. I can't. I just look at them and I just shake my head. I'm like, you.
Listen. Every time I catch Joe being even the littlest bit liberal or progressive, I understand how the parent in the parable of the prodigal son felt. I mean, he still can't help himself. He still says stupid right-wing shit. But Mika has had a positive influence on him. And frankly, there's something charming in the fact that he and I are the same age and come from basically the same place, went to the same school for a while, and are so entirely radically different. I mean, it's
I like Mika. It's all love.
It's weird. It's weird how things can shake out.
Her whole act is concerned blonde, but I like Mika. She's empathetic.
Stop. But like, for instance, we both he and I both have a common frame of reference in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. You know, okay. I'm so progressive that I whistle the international in the fucking shower, okay? That's a joke. And you know, he's still grieving being left off the Christmas card list of the Heritage Foundation. But by God, if we sat down on a Saturday morning at a little place in Tuscaloosa called the Waysider, we would both be happier than pigs in a waller. Then go to the football game, yell Roll Tide, and then after.
Okay, you lost me at the Roll Tide part.
Well, that's okay. It's who I am. I got two college football programs I can root for. And one of them is occasionally successful.
One of them
is occasionally successful, and the other is West Virginia. Which is,
hey, West Virginia's beaten the Canes a few times. I think West Virginia more than Alabama.
Which is, by the way, you know, my beloved university is being parted out on the lawn in front of make West Virginia great big old Jim Justice's single wide. Yeah, under the watchful eye of Baby Dog. But we could go to the game, yell Roll Tide, listen, you know, listen to Eli Gold's play-by-play commentary on, you know, online in the stands, and then afterward, you know, because he's got some swing, you know, him being a multimillionaire member of the for-profit media. We would then close the day at Dreamland, the original Dreamland on Jug Factory Road in Tuscaloosa, and have the best ribs anywhere on God's green earth. And politics probably would only tangentially enter into the conversation. Because, see, this is another thing. And this is a food porn truism. And I know the vegetarians and vegans are cringing, but, and I apologize, it's just who I am. You only eat ribs with people you really like and aren't afraid to be vulnerable around. Because there is no nice way to eat ribs. You are going to get sauce all over the place. It's going to be on your hands. It's going to be on your on the corners of your mouth, all around your mouth, like some sort of smoky-ass lipstick. Hell, it may wind up in your hair, because that's just what eating ribs is. I mean, it's primal. And the fact of the matter is, if you've got a bunch of good friends sitting around eating good ribs, by the end of the evening, it's going to look like supper with the Donner Party.
Yep, and they're going to be caveman grunts.
That just caveman noises. Yeah, good rib. And then you finish, off with some of their eponymous banana pudding, and that's just the definition of happiness. If you're
what
some
is banana pudding, stop the thing. What is that?
Wait, what?
Yeah, stop.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I've never heard of that. I was like, that's a thing. Tell me more about this banana pudding.
Okay, 9x13, sheet pan, glass dish, whatever. Everybody else uses vanilla wafers. I use Lorna Doones because my grandmother taught me that way.
And
you make homemade vanilla pudding, really rich and vanilla-y. Okay. And on that bottom layer, you take a nice ripe banana, and you slice bananas all over that bottom layer where the Lorna Doones are. You haven't done anything yet. And you pour on some of the banana pudding, you pour on some of the vanilla pudding, and you go back with the bananas again. More pudding, more bananas. And you top it off with more Lorna Doones, and you refrigerate it until it sets up firm, and then you take it out, and five minutes later, there's not a crumb nor a molecule left in it because people have gone hog-ass wild.
What if you powderize the Lorna Doones? Does that make it better?
No.
Kind of spread it through?
No, no. Now, the one thing I do, I modified it a little bit. I buy the cook it on the stovetop flan mix. Royal makes one, and it comes with a little packet of caramel. And so I'll use the flan and the bananas, and then at the very end, once I've put the top layer of Lorna Doones on, I'll drizzle that caramel packet across it.
Now I have a question.
And then
suppose you replace that with custard. I was just thinking that as you were talking about it.
Yeah.
And instead of Lorna Doones, green crackers.
No, no. If you're going to use anything but Lorna Doones, you use vanilla wafers.
For the taste shift, I guess. Yeah, vanilla wafers have a nice.
But the Lorna Doones, although they are expensive and are priced daily on a world market just like gold, they've got more substance to them and they don't turn to mush as quickly. And I have never made a pan of it that lasted more than 5 to 10 minutes.
And do you know those shortbread cookies that come in the white package?
Are you talking about the Pepperidge Farm chessmen? You can use those too.
Yeah. How would those turn out?
Oh, it's fine with chessmen. Shortbread, shortbread.
You tried it already?
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. There was one year I couldn't. There was one year I couldn't get the Lorna Doones, and I used chessmen.
I think the custard is an upgrade.
It is.
Maybe you puree the banana.
No, you do not puree the bananas. No.
No.
No. You want the you want the substance of the bananas.
Okay, it's structural. Okay.
I mean, that's exactly how. If you want, you know, if you want to start, if you want to start from ground level, vanilla pudding, bananas, vanilla wafers, and then of course, whipped cream. Whipped cream once you're serving it.
Oh yeah, so where's whipped cream or the Cool Whip? Not Miracle Whip.
No. Whipped cream. I have seen my family knocked down, you know, with extreme prejudice, an entire Thanksgiving dinner with all the trimmings, the mashed potatoes, the green beans, the turkey, the dressing, the gravy, the sweet potato croquettes. Everybody's full to bursting, but that banana pudding comes out and they lose their goddamn minds.
I may have to whip that out for Thanksgiving if I decide
I've had to hide it. We had one really cold Thanksgiving, and I chilled it inside the gas grill so no one would find it.
That's a good idea.
People lose their reason around that stuff.
I have a food porn request, and then I'm going to make it to the edge of here. That's when we jump on. I don't know what time is it?
Actually, we're going to end the program.
Oh, yeah, we got three minutes. All right.
Yeah.
Over the next couple of days, I need you to help me with a meatloaf recipe. I'm going to substitute all the meaty parts, so I'm going to try to approximate them.
You're not so vegan you can't use eggs, are you?
Oh, yeah, no. All the eggs and all the cheese, that's fine.
Okay. You know, you'll need eggs and bread, and I love panko breadcrumbs for the binder, or else the unseasoned, like, Progresso breadcrumbs. Don't get the seasoned ones.
Okay.
But you're okay. So yeah, you're gonna replace the meat with something like tofu.
Three different kinds of meat, actually.
Yeah, tofu. No, or whatever.
No. What? So maybe tofu for the fourth. No. Impossible. Grillers and a okay.
Well, the thing is, you're gonna. I don't know how it holds up when you take. I mean, does it come in like 1 pound package loose form? Or does it all come in patties?
Yes.
Okay, get it in the loose form. So you're gonna want finely chopped onions, and you're gonna want finely chopped green peppers. If you're feeling spicy, you can mince in a jalapeno. What'd you
or
say?
Scotch bonnet.
How about what?
Scotch bonnet pepper.
I wouldn't. I don't like the taste of habaneros. I don't object to the heat. They taste like a chemical weapon. I prefer my chilies old school. You know, all those Scotch bonnets and ghost peppers and stuff. Those are all chinensis peppers. I prefer chilies.
I'm in the Scotch bonnet crowd, so they'd appreciate the heat.
Well, I mean, if you've got people who aren't afraid of the heat, yeah, sure, why not? But here's the kicker. Most people with their meatloaf will make a thickened kind of ketchup sauce to glaze it with after it's baked, and then bake it a little more. Hoisin sauce from the Asian aisle in your market.
What kind of hoisin sauce?
Hoisin
sauce?
Yeah, plum sauce. Hoisin sauce.
Okay. Yeah.
Use that instead of ketchup, and people will lose their minds.
And just cheese on top, or cheese in it, or
no? It's not a cheese.
Why am I adding cheese?
It's not a cheese dish.
Well, I want to add cheese to make it for a half. I had meatloaf with a top, like, quarter inch layer of cheese once, and it's still in my mind.
If you wanted to, you could get kind of Italian about it, and after you do the hoisin sauce, you could put like a mozzarella cap on it and run it under the broiler until it turns golden and gooey. That might not be terrible.
I was thinking more American cheese. kind of have a cheeseburger vibe. Cheeseburger meatloaf.
I don't know. That just sounds off. And the American cheese really wouldn't work with the hoisin sauce. It might work with the ketchup, but it's not going to work.
Velveeta mix.
Maybe the white Velveeta?
Yeah. Right down the middle. Not up top. Right down the middle. At the middle layer.
Yeah. But anyway, I gotta get out of here. And we had a $25 challenge on the table. And Monday has turned out to be a goose egg. Don't know why, but it is.
No, hold on. Not a goose egg, Robin. Not a goose egg. Hold on. And I bid you adieu, horn people. I'm looking at you. I did my little part. It was just a little part. But I can't have a goose egg. Not today. I'm sending a little thing your way. Just a little bit. Just kind of like I said, my $2 tip. Take care of yourself, Robin.
All right. You be good.
I love you.
Thank you, Jerry. Be good to yourself. Take it easy on yourself. Get off your own back, okay?
I'm going. It's been a day.
I understand. Talk to you later, okay? And so that's the end of the program. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you, Ralphs, for the challenge. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff in the chat room. Thank you to Roger. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. HeadOn.live, please like and subscribe to the program on the podcast front, whatever they call it, like, friend, fond, love. As long as it's not ambivalent, leave a comment for the algorithms, pretty please. Ralph said she'll extend the challenge. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Stay safe. Wear your mask when you're, especially if you're around the maggots, because they don't give a damn about anybody but themselves, and very little about themselves for that matter. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance. And, if one of Nitwit Nero's pettifoggers comes along and says,
well, the Discovery is taller than the Washington Monument. That's too much.
Avoid that ambulance chaser like the plague. Because he is. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Later.